Today is a very special day in the sense that we are all chosen by God. And as chosen people, we have a responsibility. We live in this world. You know, isn't it amazing, God, when He calls us, because He calls us. He calls us, and once we say, yes, I accept what Jesus did at the cross and the resurrection, He doesn't just take us home. Why in the world wouldn't He do that? We could eliminate all this garbage. There's purpose behind that. Today we look at part of that, but I want to read something that I read actually this week. When Saddam Hussein, the Iraqi dictator, decided to occupy Kuwait, a coalition of nations decided that he should be evicted and punished. The ancient city of Baghdad was subjected to a massive aerial bombardment, and television pictures showed pictures of smart bombs hurtling with devastating accuracy into selected targets. People around the world watched from the comfort of their own homes, but there was little comfort in the homes of Saddam's troubled people. For them, the fireworks display was destruction and devastation. You remember that? Remember turning the TV on, just seeing it was just red with fire and bombs, destruction. So it will be in the day of the Lord. The prophet Joel said, the day of the Lord will be an awesome, terrible thing. But Peter, on the other hand, preaching in Jerusalem, called it the great and glorious day of the Lord. Well, which will it be? Great and glorious or awesome and terrible? Well, it all depends. All depends entirely where you're going to be sitting at the time. Those who are safe and secure in Christ's salvation will rejoice as they are introduced to the full glory of His presence for all eternity. Those who are not in Christ will experience the awesome, terrifying judgment of God. I'm going to stop there quick and I'm going to say something. Those who are not in Christ, but I'd rather see that say, but those who don't have Christ in them. Okay, because that's the whole purpose that we're going. Because Christ is in us, His Spirit, He's bringing His Spirit back to be with Him. And we are part of that. Many people struggle when faced with these weighty truths. Will God really bring fiery judgment on His own creation? Does He intend to create new heavens and new earth? Will people really perish in the coming judgment? When will all this happen? The timing of the day of the Lord is a secret known only to God. Thankfully, we are certain that the great day will happen. We are uncertain, though, about the timing. Why the uncertainty? Why didn't God tell us when it all will happen? Perhaps because He knows human nature. Yeah, He knows human nature. Those people who have suffered for the sake of God's kingdom and who have endured because they have hoped in His speedy return would likely have despaired. And those who have had little interest in reaching the perishing world would have even less interest if they had known that the Lord was not about to return. And since we are selfish people, take note of that, we might have lived as we wished until the last minute before getting around to being what we should have been. These things seem to be on Peter's mind when he said that the promise of the day of the Lord and the uncertainty of its timing should stimulate us to holy, godly lives as we look forward to this great event. And the anticipation should inspire us to hurry it along. Of one thing, though, we can be sure, the day of the Lord will come. It will come. God's word is a promise, and it will come. That is an excerpt from Devotions for Men that I read, but that just really struck home for this section of Scripture today because of the promise, the hope that we have. That hope that we have is not just, oh, I hope for a better life than what I have here. Thessalonians, I think. I can't remember. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can even conceive of what is in store for those that love the Lord. That's awesome. That is amazing. The best that we can even think about. You see things that are absolutely beautiful. You go to a concert and the music is just spectacular. That's nothing. It's just a drop in the bucket compared to what God has in store for us. We can't understand it. We don't understand it. But we have that to look forward to. Ephesians 1:15 begins with a statement that must be answered in order to help us understand that the point that Paul is making. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. Well, for what reason? Tucker covered that last week at the end of his section. And in order to answer that, let's go back. Ephesians 1:13-14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed and you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing, note this word, our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The reason that Paul's referring to, he heard that they believed. They accepted the message of Jesus. When they heard it, God called them, they believed. Paul heard about that. That meant that they were marked with a seal. Now, Tucker talked about a seal last week. Remember back when they didn't have cell phones or tablets or computers or anything like that. I mean, long time ago. These seals that the kings and the professional people had at the time, they would drip some wax on the corner of an envelope or a scroll, and they would drip wax, and they had their own mark that they squashed into that wax, and it was permanent. Now, when that courier, whoever it was that was carrying that, took that, they protected that at all expense. Because when it got there, it meant it was sealed by the official. And that seal was not broken. So they could count on the fact that whatever they were reading or whatever they were seeing was sent by that official and was truth. Okay? Well, we are called, and we are sealed, he said, with who? The Holy Spirit. So we have the Spirit of Christ in us, and we are sealed by that Spirit. He heard that they believed, they were marked with a seal, and they received the same Holy Spirit that Paul and everyone else receives. This seal is a guarantee of inheritance as God's children. You can count on it. That seal, unbroken, you can count on the fact that when we are called by Jesus Christ to come up to glory, he will see that seal. You are mine. You are who I want here. No one else. I want only those with the seal, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:15-17. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. The love for all God's people is evidence that is displayed as a result of the Holy Spirit's indwelling in us. Paul heard about this love from the reports coming out of Ephesus. By their love. John 13:35 says, By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's Jesus. If you love one another, you'll know, everyone will know that you're my disciples. Why does Paul request that the Father give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Well, what is wisdom? Somebody want to take a stab? What is wisdom? Anybody? It's right in front of you. I printed it out. Wisdom is, say it again?
Application of knowledge.
Application of knowledge. Excellent. Wisdom, it is defined as the ability to think and act according to knowledge and understanding. Well, how do we get that? How do we get that? He's asking and he's praying that the Father will give us wisdom. I tell you, wisdom is, you got to read Song of Solomon and Proverbs, and you can read about wisdom, but knowledge comes from the Scriptures, right? Do you let me ask this. I thought about this a lot. You can pick up a book and read it. You believe every word? Do you know without any question in your mind, in your heart, that every word in that book you read is truth? Do you know that? How can you know that? How can you know that I pick up the newspaper, which doesn't exist hardly ever anymore, but you read it online, whatever. I remember one day, Terry Jo remembers this, my brother said, well, I saw it online, so I said, wait a minute. That holds nothing for me. You may have seen it a billion places online. Doesn't mean it's true. In fact, the majority of the things that I read online, I don't even think of it. I don't even think about them because I don't know whether they're truth or not. So knowledge comes from where? The Scriptures. Now, can you read the Scriptures, the Bible, and know beyond a question that it's truth? Every word is truth. God said that himself in the Scriptures. When Jesus wrote those Scriptures, every word is truth. You can bank on that. Understanding comes from the Holy Spirit opening up the secrets of the Scriptures, right? When we have the Holy Spirit filling us and we read the Scriptures that Jesus wrote through men, 2 Peter, no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, but they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They weren't even under their own power when they wrote them. God wrote that. Jesus wrote the Scriptures. And understanding comes from the Holy Spirit opening up those secrets of the Scriptures in our minds, in our hearts. You ever just pick up the Bible and just read? Not with an intended, I want to find out about this. I want to find out about that. No, you just picked up the Bible and you opened it up and you started to read. Do you ever remember a time in your past, growing up or as a young Christian, you may have read that passage of Scripture before? Yeah, I do. But all of a sudden, it means something different. Something stands out. You read it and God opens up His words in your mind and in your heart. That is part of the understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit opening up the secrets of the Scriptures to us. The revelation that he refers to is understanding that our inheritance and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit actually give us the ability to what? Know God. Does Jesus know God? Yeah. I expect everybody to shake your head yes. Jesus is God. He knows God. Does he know him intimately? Oh, as a son, you know your Father intimately. Jesus knows God. We, through that Spirit of Jesus in us, when we accept Christ as our Savior and what he did at the cross and rose from the dead, we have the ability in that Spirit in us now to be able to know God intimately. He's the creator of everything that exists. And all that we see, all that we hear, birds, animals, whatever it might be, he is the creator. Who better would you have in your life to be able to trust with everything about who you are? Everything. We have the ability to know God, and not only the knowledge of God, a knowledge of God, but an intimate relationship with God. Ephesians 1:18-19, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What are the eyes of our heart? I had to stop when I started studying this. What are the eyes of your heart? Two people meet, and they start talking. A guy and a girl, preferably. They start talking, getting to know each other, getting to know you. And their ability to be able to converse. And they say, boy, I'm enjoying this. And he looks her in the eye and he says, would you marry me? Well, if you were the woman on the other end of that question, what would you say? Yes! No. That wouldn't happen, I don't believe, unless you're a fool. You don't know this person. What does that take? What does it take to know that person? For him to know her or for her to know him? What does it take? A relationship. You get to know their ins and their outs and their ups and their downs, their mood swings. You get to know everything about them. And then you make a decision, both of you. I think we can handle this together. I think we need to get married. We accept Jesus Christ and we are married to God. It's a relationship. He uses that in Scripture, the marriage, the bridegroom. We are married to God. We have an intimate relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. And I said it in here, close your eyes and try to find your way around. Virtually impossible. You'll trip and stumble. You're going to fall eventually. Now open your eyes and then you can move ahead without doubt. The eyes of your heart being opened allow you to read Scripture and to move ahead to follow Jesus without doubt or question in your mind. He will open the eyes of your heart. That's why Paul asked for that in his prayer. And that you may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the glory, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Now, and his incomparably great power. Lori talked about something today that happens to all of us. We have words that can either destroy people or build people up. I would hope that our goal as a believer is to always try to build people up in every situation. Even when somebody is criticizing and ridiculing me, I have ways to get back at them so well. And I can do that really well. And that's not to my pride. That's to my shame. Because there are also ways that we can, in response to the things that are happening or being said, that we can say, you know what? I have to evaluate that before I make a judgment. And in the meantime, I'm just going to accept what you're saying as something that I need to digest and see what it means. But you haven't destroyed me, and I haven't destroyed you yet. But I haven't destroyed you because of the love of Jesus. I'm safe and secure in Jesus. What happens when your friend, your best friend, tells you what a jerk you are? Well, think about it. Maybe you are a jerk in that situation. Maybe God is trying to say, listen to me. I remember one of my first jobs. Everybody knew I was a believer. And I said something to one of the guys sitting by me that was really inappropriate. And it didn't take 2 minutes for one of the other guys to say, you know what? I can't believe that came out of your mouth. You claim to be a believer. You claim to be a Christian. I went about my work, and I think it was around noon when we broke up. I went and I said, you know what? I have to say, because he wasn't a believer, I have to say thank you for reminding me. God used you in my life to remind me of who I represent, and that's the person of Jesus. And you helped me see that. Thank you. Wow. Does that make an impact? It should on your own life. We're not perfect. We fail. But God's power is in us. We can know the hope. We can see the hope. We can understand the hope. That hope is eternal presence with Jesus, God, our inheritance. Living, and I like this, living in his home. Our inheritance. When you receive an inheritance, a lot of times you get a home. You a lot of times you get stuff. But our inheritance is to go live in God's house. Is that amazing or what? We get to live where God is. If that doesn't set you back and make you wonder and ponder, I don't know what could, because I get to go live with God. I look forward to that. And his incomparable power. Wow. Do we have access, or can we access God's power? Can we access God's power? How? How can we access God's power? Who is God? How can I get that power? Do I want that power for me? Because I want to lord it over everybody else? Do I want to have power in a situation to say, that's evil, be away with you, and have it stop? It's not the power he's talking about. What power is he talking about here? What power that God gives us through the person of Jesus Christ is he talking about? That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. My goodness. Holy smokes. That is power. That is genuine power. Jesus walked up to Lazarus' tomb. And what did he say? What did he say? What did he cry out? Lazarus! Lazarus was dead. What did Lazarus do? He came forth. We always think of death as the end. As human beings, we think of death as the end. But it's not. Lazarus' spirit was still there. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come out of that grave. Come out of that tomb. And Lazarus got up. Came back to life. That picture is the same picture that Paul's talking about here We have that same power in us because Jesus lives in us. His Spirit lives in us the second we accept Christ. And because His Spirit is in us, we have that same power to rise from the dead. And you know what's even more beautiful? I don't ever have to die. I never have to die. In a way that actually blows me away. The pain of death may happen in an instant. I always think about bugs being crushed and go, it's over. You know, I kind of hope I go that way. But you know, there is pain and death while we're alive. But once death occurs, those of us who know Jesus, His Spirit is in us. And where's that Spirit going? Where is that Spirit going to go? Back to be with Jesus. He calls His own Spirit back. And that Spirit is in us. So we go with Him. That's the promise here that he's talking about. And even though Jesus is seated at God's right hand, we have total access to the Father through Him. What a privilege. And this will not just be while we live here on earth. It will be where He lives. Heaven. John 14, 1 through 3 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Where is he? What did the verse say? He's seated at where? Right hand of the Father. And Jesus is going to take us to be with him in heaven. Jesus is not just above, but far above. The scripture there that talks about that, he's above. He covers just about everything. But Jesus is above all rule. He rules the rulers, no matter who they are. Saddam Hussein, he rules the rulers. He's in control. All authorities, he is far above all authorities. He is the complete, total authority. There is no authority over Jesus. Understand that. No one. I mean, even Billy Graham, there's no authority over Jesus. He is in total authority. All power. There is no power that exists outside of Jesus. You will be powerless if Jesus is out. Your power will cease to exist. He's far above all dominion. This is referring to the angels and the heavenly beings and every name that is invoked. The heavens where Jesus talks about and where we're headed, there are heavenly beings there also. That's why they're called heavenly beings. But when we think of that, Jesus is in control even in heaven. He is over everything. Salvation, Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Jesus is in complete control of everything. You watch the government today, you watch evil people just running rampant and getting away with it. And you say, how could they be in such control over us? They're not. God is. Are you troubled by all that's going on? We can be. You watch the news? I don't. I don't need to watch the news. I hear about it through people. I don't need to watch it. Why should I drag myself down? I don't need to watch that. Want the weather? I can walk outside and look. I see what the weather is. You know, I guess I just look at this and say, God's in control. and I'm not going to worry. In this world, you will know trouble. But never fear. I have overcome the world. This is Ephesians 1:23. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. For what? For the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I'm working really hard right now to try to emphasize and get across the fact that God is in control of everything. He's in control of what I say. Even though I say some terrible things, he reminds me if I'm his. He lets me know through the Spirit of Jesus Christ in me. And it's a great description of a body. He is the head. Anybody here want to take that place? You want to be the head? Anybody? You raise your hand. A lot of responsibility in that head. He is the head, but we are his body, the body of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was with the disciples, he said, I'm going to leave now because I'm going to sit at the right hand of my Father. But I'm going to give you my Spirit. And he's going to indwell you. They were filled with God's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And when God's Spirit indwells us, we become his body. You see, that correlation between the body of Christ, as we are only part of that body. This group is just a small, tiny portion of that body. There's millions of us on the earth. So don't ever think evil is everywhere you go. It may be present, but you're associating with the body of Christ. That should give you strength. And which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. It's a great description. What a wonderful description. We know that all things are under his feet. That means that as his body, which includes feet, we have nothing to fear. We are his and he is ours. And we have access to the God of the universe, the Creator. Praise to Jesus, our Savior and our God. As believers, we are blessed to have access to the God of eternity. Because we are filled with the Spirit of Jesus, we will never experience death. How well do we know him? How well do we know his word? With his Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit of the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, the sky's the limit. And then I said, oh, no, wait. The sky's not the limit. Heaven is the limit. But it's only for eternity. Maybe it's because I'm getting old, I don't know, but I sure do look forward to that day. Eliminate all the junk that's going on. But do I enjoy life? Those of you who know me, do I enjoy life? I love life. And I hope everybody can see that life is good despite what's going on around us in the world. That stuff comes from Satan. Only the good comes from God. Father, you have blessed us so much with your Spirit. Help us to, as Paul was saying here, to understand about the knowledge and the wisdom that you have to give us. It comes through your word. It comes through prayer. Father, help us to be diligent. Help us to be desirous in our own lives to know you better. The only way we can know you better is through what you have said in your words and through prayer with you. Personal conversations with you. Help us to be diligent and do that daily and regularly. Give us your blessing, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.